ذات الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وانعم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Most honorable elders, brothers and listeners, yesterday we started a discussion on Surah Luqman, the 31st surah of the glorious Quran. And we have reached the stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions some of the advices of Sayyiduna Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam. Who was Luqman alayhi salam? There is a very rare opinion that says that Luqman alayhi salam, he was a prophet. Otherwise, the majority of the mufassirin say Luqman alayhi salam was not a prophet, but Luqman alayhi salam was a very wise and pious man. And because of his words of wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the power of his words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned some of these advices in the glorious Quran. Some say Luqman alayhi salatu wa salam was related to Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. Some say Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, he lived a very long time. And he also found the era of Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that we know this much about Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam, that he was an Abyssinian slave. Dark in color, Abyssinian slave. So he was Abyssinian, he was a slave, and he used to the work of carpentry. And you have many, many other reports with regards Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, but many of them are from the narrations of the Banu Israel. But we know this much for sure. We know this much for sure that Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam was extremely wise. Wahab ibn Munabbir rahmatullahi alayhi says that I have come across and read over 10,000 chapters of the wise advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam. One is somebody having just 10,000 advices. And one is that not just advices, but different chapters, different topics on the words of wisdom of Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam. Once, one person who knew Luqman alayhi salam from before, because he was a slave. So he saw him after a very long time. Where did he see him? In a majlis like this. Many people around Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam. He understood that many people, they visit Luqman alayhi salam. When they have their problems, they go to Luqman alayhi salam. They find solution for their problems in the advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam. They enjoy sitting by him. They feel the benefit of going to him. So he said to him that, are you that same Luqman who used to be the slave of so and so nation? He said, yes. The questioner then asked that, aren't you that same Luqman that we used to graze the sheep together and the goats together? He said, yes, it's me. So he says that, Luqman alayhi salam said, why do you look so astonished? Why are you asking me with such surprise? So he said that, I find it very astonishing. I find it very surprising that you are that same person and today you have got such a status in the people that so many people come to you every day from far and wide. They travel miles and miles to come to you. They take days to come to you. They come to you and they benefit from you. So, where were you yesterday and how have you come so far today? Listen carefully, my dear friends. Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam says to this person that, Yabna akhi, oh my dear friend, what has happened to me is not because who I am. But if you were to adopt the same actions that I have adopted, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give you that same maqam as well. Allahu Akbar. And this is to all of us, my dear friends. This is to all of us that you do not have to come from a certain nation. You do not have to come from a certain background to acquire or to earn this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were doctors in the past that the mufassireen, muhaddithin, the shaykhul hadith of their times would go. They were not alims, but they had that treasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama would also go and benefit from them. The likes of Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, who was his shaykh, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi. He wasn't no alim. But when Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib and his brother Mufti Azam, Mufti Rafi Uthmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhuma, when they saw that this person has been blessed with such knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do not possess, so they would also go to him as well. So Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, he enumerated 9 things to him. He said, if you adopt these actions that I have adopted, most definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you where I am today as well. غضي بصري وكفي لساني وعفة طعمتي وحفظي فرجي وقولي بصدق ووفائي بأهدي وتكرمتي ضيفي وحفظي جاري وتركي ما لا يعنيني فذلك الذي سيرني إلى ما ترى. What did he say? He says, these few things that I have in my life. Number one, غضي بصري. I am very, very particular with my glance. I do not use my eyes in the wrong place. When I'm driving, when I'm walking, I try to look away. I try to look down as much as I can. When a screen is put in front of me, when a fitna is put in front of me, when an image is put in front of me, I don't just look here and there. I control my eyes. Today, my dear respected friends, why is it that we have so much desire inside of us? The desire just can't wait to be fulfilled. Why is this? Because this valuable heart that we have, it's a vessel, it's a utensil. And whatever we see with our eyes, this is sending messages to our body. This is sending messages to our heart. And it is filling the vessel with all the filth that we are seeing with these eyes. My dear respected friends, these eyes are like camera. It's taking images of everything that we see. And when we don't want to remember these things, shaitan will make us play this reel, this film in our minds, that look at these different things that I've seen in my life. That person who does not control his gaze, my dear respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away from him the enjoyment of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away from him the enjoyment of talking and conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I control my gaze. Number two, وَكَفِّي لِسَانِي, I control my tongue. Whatever comes to my mind, I don't just utter it and say it. I control my tongue. I only speak when it is necessary. I take stock of my words before I say them. What do we do? Whatever comes to our mind, it's not even been processed yet and it's already come out of our tongues. It's already been written on that phone and the message has been sent. But we don't think that what am I saying? إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهَا. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily a servant, he utters a word. مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهَا. He didn't pay much attention towards that word. يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مِمَّا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Because of that one sentence, he has hurt someone so bad. Because of that one sentence, he has put someone in so much trouble. Because of that one sentence, he has caused such a big disaster. And because of this, his punishment will be, he will fall in the pits of the fire of Jahannam. How deep will he go in the fire of Jahannam, my dear friends? أَبْعَدَ مِمَّا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. More further than the distance between the east and the west. Because he uttered one wrong kalima, one wrong word. How many wrong sentences do we utter each day? Next, wa'iffatu tu'mati. I was very, very particular with regards my rizq, my earning, my sustenance, what I consume. I was very, very particular in this regard. I would stay away from haram. I would not earn money that comes from haram. I would not deal with something that is haram. I was very, very particular with my sustenance. So what I would earn, what I would buy, I would make sure it's halal. What I would eat, I would make sure it's halal. My dear respected friends, Allahu Akbar, look how low we have stooped. Just because we like chicken from a certain shop, just because we like this food from a certain shop, this product from a certain shop, we need one person to tell us. One person to tell us. Which person? He doesn't have a beard. He has no sunnah in his life. He has no knowledge in his life. But he comes and he tells us, oh, I've heard they sell halal over there. And just because we can't stay away from that taste, we can't control ourselves, hundreds of other places will sell the halal product. But he wants that certain product. Look how much shaitan has put him in this, Allahu Akbar, illusion, my dear friends. He's been deceived. So one person tells him, and that is enough for him to consume that haram. And the effect of that haram will remain inside that body. And my dear friends, we have those who are particular, they check the products. They do their research before they buy. But they are not ensuring that the money I am buying this product with, is this money, has it come from halal sources or not? Halal is not just about what we eat, what we consume, what we wear. Halal is also about the money that we are using to buy this food, this electric that we pay for, the gas that we pay for, the house that we pay for. The money that we are using, has this money come from halal or not? My dear respected friends, when parents are particular with their sustenance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them pious offsprings. And when parents are not considerate with their sustenance, with their money, then they are feeding their children haram from day one. That if they will not give birth to animals, then you tell me, my dear friends, what are they feeding or what will they give birth to? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, what does his father say? Well, what does Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi say? That the money that my father left behind for me, the money that my father left behind for me, there wasn't a single dinar, dirham within that money that was from doubtful sources. Leave aside haram. There was no haram in there, there wasn't anything doubtful inside there as well. Whatever came to me from my father's wealth was 101% halal. Then if Imam Bukhari won't come into this world, then my dear friends, who would come into this world? Look at the Salafus Salihin. Those who are pious, you will see that their parents were very particular with regards halal and haram. So my dear friends, living in the West and having all sorts of investments in front of us, businesses in front of us, jobs in front of us, it's very easy to remember our circumstances and say, oh, I won't be able to live in a rental property all my life. I will need to go into this conventional mortgage. Oh, I will need to deal with this. Oh, I will have this job for 5 years. Once I earn enough, I will let go of this job. My dear friend, what will you acquire in this 5 years? Haram, haram, haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example of a man. He's stuck inside in the middle of the desert. He's stuck in the middle of the desert. And now he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions all the different points due to which the dua is accepted. Humility. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look how humble he is. His clothes are all dirty. His hair is disheveled. Why is our dua accepted in Arafat? Because we are in ihram. We haven't had a bath. We haven't put itar on. Our hair is all over the place. But on this halat, Allah has raham. Allah has raham on this. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, look, his hair is disheveled. His clothes are all over the place. And he's lifting his hands to the sky, not just to his chest. Up in the air, he's lifting his hands. And he's saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in another hadith that when somebody calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such words, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely accepts his prayer. So why wasn't this person's dua accepted? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَتْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامُ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. Yes, all the outward means are there. All the outward means are there for his dua to be accepted. But let's do a bit of research into his life. The food that he eats is come from haram. The clothes that he wears, he comes from haram. وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. All his life, his body has been nourished with haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How can this person's dua be accepted? My dear friends, we complain and we say, my dua is not being accepted. I have been asking for this for such a long time. Allah hasn't given to me. I have tried so hard for this. I have gone to the Kaaba. I have gone under the Mizan. I have held on to this and I have done this. I have gone to Arafat. Throughout Ramadan I made this dua, but this dua is not being accepted. My dear brother, the sabab, the means that you must have inside your life for the dua to be accepted, you have not adopted these means. And today, our children may be obedient. My dear friends, when we need our children the most, Allah Ta'ala will turn these children against us. These are the effects of haram. So he says, one of the reasons why Allah made me so wise, why Allah gave me such a high maqam, وَعِفَّةُ تُعْمَتِي وَحِفْظِي فَرَجِي. I have been very, very particular with my private parts. I have never ever done anything wrong with my private parts. Next, وَقَوْلِي بِصِدِقٍ. When I would talk, I would always talk the truth. I wouldn't beat around the bush. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Seedhi seedhi baat karo. Just talk openly, talk straight, talk clear. Don't beat around the bush. Don't speak in such a way that you are hiding your lie in that statement as well. No, wa qawli bi sidqin. Whenever I spoke, I would speak the truth. Wa wafa'i bi ahdi. Whenever I promised anyone, whenever I made a promise to anyone, fine, tomorrow this time I will help you. Come and see me tomorrow, I will meet you at this time. Come and we will do this together. Fine, you have told me this, I promise you, I will not disclose your secret to anybody else. And what do we do today, my dear friends? This is the sign of the munafiq. إِذَا أْتُمِنَ خَانَ. When he is entrusted by anything, with anything. He is entrusted with a secret, he is entrusted with an item. I was telling the sisters today, it's become the norm of society today. A will tell B the secret, as soon as A is gone from the scene, B will come and tell C. And C will tell everybody else, we have just disclosed somebody else's secret, my dear friends. Allahu Akbar. So he said, وَوَفَائِي بِأَهْدِي. Whatever promise I made, I always fulfilled my promise. وَتَكْرِمَتِي بِضَيْفِي. I was always hospitable towards my guests. Whenever any guest came to my house, I wouldn't let them leave with an empty stomach. Whatever they want, whatever need they had, I would help them. I would fulfill their need. There was a musafir, stranger. Whichever guest came to me, I would always be hospitable towards them. And وَحِفْظِي جَارِي. I looked out for my neighbors. I looked out for my neighbors, O Muslims. We are so unaware today who lives to our right, who lives to our left. Who lives on top of us, who lives below us. As long as me, my wife, my life, my family, we are happy. Why should we worry about anybody else? No. وَحِفْظِي جَارِي. Whenever my neighbors needed me, I was there for them. Whenever they were in trouble, I was there to protect them, to help them, to fulfill their needs. وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, free qasam he takes, free qasam, and he says, by Allah, that person is not a mu'min. Sahaba said, who ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, that person, that neighbor, or that person from whom his neighbor is not safe from. Meaning we have A, and on his side lives B, but B is not safe from the mischief of A. When will A trouble me? At night time, him and his friends come round. They make so much noise, I can't say anything to him. He parks his car in such a wrong way. It inconveniences me. It does, but he can't say anything. Because he knows how mischievous this neighbor is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 3 times, la yu'min, he is not a believer. It's a sign of a believer that he is considerate towards his neighbors. And lastly, he said, وَتَرْكِي مَا لَا يَعْنِينِي. I left all futile activities in my life. Yesterday we spoke about lahwa al-hadith, futile activity. Meaning he said, I have never done that thing in my life that had no worldly benefit or that had no benefit of deen. We should never engage in something that there is no benefit for us in this world or no benefit for us in the hereafter. And then he said, وَذَلِكَ الَّذِي سَيَّرَنِي إِلَى مَا تَرَى. This is that thing that has taken me to the status that you are seeing. What do we learn from here, my dear friends? Black, white, Arab, Ajam. No, none of these things are a factor in making a person a muttaqi, in taking a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no racism in Islam. La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin, wa la li ajamiyyin ala arabiyyin. No Arab has virtue over a non-Arab just because of him being Arab. No non-Arab has a virtue over an Arab just because he is a non-Arab. No Gujarati has virtue over a Pakistani and no Pakistani over a Bengali. No racism in Islam. And you could be a slave. You could be very ugly. You could be of a very dark complex. But if you adopt the means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala in this world and the hereafter will elevate your status, my dear friends. And وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. Most definitely, we gave hikmah to Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. What is hikmah? Hikmah means such words that when you share it with others, they benefit from your words. Such words that when somebody hears your hikmah, they want to share it with others. Mufassirina said, hikmah means that the ilm that you learn, when you get the tawfiq to practice that ilm, this means you're a hakeem. You've got hikmah. So Mufti Shafi Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah alayhi says, that let's take all these meanings. What it means was, Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, whatever he learned, it didn't just remain in his exercise book. Whatever he learned, it didn't just remain in his knowledge. It became his practice. When he practiced on his ilm, Allah Ta'ala granted him even more hikmah. Allah Ta'ala goes on saying that وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ. This أَنِشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ, Mufassirin say it could mean we gave Luqman hikmah and we said to him that show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two different orders or two different topics. We gave him hikmah and we said to him be grateful to Allah. And other Mufassirin have gone to this extent to say that no, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. We gave him hikmah. And what is the biggest hikmah that we gave to him? We said to him that show gratitude. Allahu Akbar. The amal of shukr, the amal of shukr, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is such a great amal that some Mufassirin are of the opinion that this is the greatest wisdom that was given to Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. My dear respected friends, we are living here, living in the West. When have we woken up in the morning and asked ourselves, I wonder what I'll eat at lunchtime? When have we left our houses in the morning and said to ourselves, I wonder whether I'll return alive to my family or not? Never! We never have that thought. Because Allah Ta'ala has given us so much means, so much wealth. Allahu Akbar. Bounties upon bounties, my dear friends. Such bounties and luxuries that the kings and the millionaires of the past never enjoyed such luxury that a working class man enjoys today. Which king of the past had AC when he would travel? Air conditioning when he would travel? When could he ever imagine the sofas and the beds that we have in our houses today, my dear friends? And the carpets that we have and the luxury that we have. Allah has given us so much. Yet, oh, I'm in need. Oh, my halat achi nahi hai. Oh, I'm not well. You know, I'm not like this and I'm not like this. My brother, do thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Why should we tell you to thank Allah? By thanking Allah, you will increase Allah's status? By thanking Allah, it will make Allah happy? No. Allah says, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ And وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. When you do shukr to Allah, or you be ungrateful to Allah, at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala is not affected by your gratefulness. Allah Ta'ala is not affected by your ungratefulness. Allah is ghani. Allah is free of all needs, my dear friends. And whether we praise Him or not, Allah from day one has always been Hamid, the most praiseworthy. But وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever shows gratefulness and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is doing it for his own benefit. He will benefit in this world, he will benefit in the hereafter. Why? لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. When you show your gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala, he will increase you in that bounty. My dear brothers, further in this surah, Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Time does not permit. But this bit Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَسْبَغَ. Allah Ta'ala has in full given to you His bounties. And what kind of bounties, my dear friends? He says, ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. There are such bounties of Allah that we can see them around us. My family is a bounty of Allah. This wealth that I have is a bounty of Allah. Ilm that Allah has given to me is a bounty of Allah. The tawfiq to worship Allah is a bounty of Allah. Wa batina. There are such bounties of Allah Ta'ala that the mind cannot even grasp. The mind cannot even, we cannot see them. It can only be understood when someone reminds us, when someone tells us. For example, air. Could we see the air? Did we know it's because of this air we are breathing? But when we were told, and now we understand this with our minds as well, look what a great bounty of Allah. 23 years, 25 years, 30, 40, 50, 60 years have gone by. When have we ever said to Allah, "Oh Allah, we thank you for the air that you are giving us to breathe. Oh Allah, we thank you for the iman that you have given to us." One sheikh, he became really unwell. His associate, his student came to visit him. "Sheikh, you're very unwell. You know, how are you?" Etc, etc. The sheikh, he said that, "No, make dua for me. I have been very ungrateful all my life." The sheikh said, "I have been very ungrateful all my life." The student said, "Sheikh, you somebody so great and you have been ungrateful?" He said, "For my whole life, without any kind of difficulty, I was able to visit the washroom and relieve myself. I was able to visit the washroom and relieve myself. Today I have become sick and now I have to force myself to visit the washroom. Or I end up spoiling myself. Or because I cannot relieve myself, when this urine and stool stays inside my body, it is spreading all sorts of illnesses in my body. Then today I have come to this realization. For 50 years of my life, I was able to go to the toilet with ease. I would wake up from the deepest of sleep just because I would have to go to relieve myself. Today, after 50 years, I have just realized this was such a great bounty of Allah. And never have I thanked Allah Ta'ala for this. Sleep, what a great bounty of Allah. Those people who lose their sleep, they cannot sleep. Ask them what sleep means to them, my dear friends. So we must do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these different bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Allah ta'ala goes on to say, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Yes, it's about time that we talk about the advices of Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam. One thing Luqman said to his son, and before he brings the advice, Allah explains to us, what was the scene? What was that condition? وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ. Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam was giving good advice to his son. My dear respected friends, the only time we give advice to our children is when they do something that damages our status. Damn it, what will people say about me? No, this is an ego issue now. What will people say about me? Or better, don't you know it's haram? You wasn't worried about him doing that haram. You're just saying this because now you're worried. What will people say about you? The only time we give any sort of instructions to our children is when we're angry. He's done something wrong, she's done something wrong, and now we're angry and then we say it. Nobody takes any effect when they are spoken to with an angered tone. What is the Quran telling us? There are times when you will have to say to your children, "But idrawa, come here. Come here, I want to speak to you." When you tell someone, one is you phone your local alim and you said, "Sheikh, this has happened, this has happened." And one is you say, "Sheikh, something very important has happened. Can I take some of your time? Can I make an appointment with you to meet you? When will you get more attention?" So the Quran is saying at times you should tell your children that this time I want to sit down with you, I want to talk to you. Do ta'aleem with them. Have a counseling session with them. Then your advice will go a long way. And when you talk to them, ya bunay, not in a like, "Oh naughty boy, you do something like this." No, ya bunay, oh my beloved son. Oh my young, small, beloved child. The Quran tells us that if you want to find space in someone's heart, if you want someone to take you seriously, if you want someone to take on board the advices you are sharing with them, you will have to talk to them with love. Talk to them with love. So he says, "Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem." Do not ascribe partners with Allah. Verily, shirk is a very big sin. I won't go into all of this, my dear friends, but how is shirk relevant to us? Shirk has many types as well. And one type of shirk is when a person starts thinking that all the success that he sees around him is because of me. Or it's because of my education. Or it's because I've worked hard for this. No, my dear friends. Whatever good we have in our lives, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever blessing, bounty, success, achievement you see in your life, it's only because Allah Ta'ala has given it to you. So don't try saying that it's because of me and I've done this and I've gone so far. No, my dear respected friends. This is not a big shirk. But it's still a shirk where you're trying to say that Allah who has control over everything, but from there, I am the one who have done this for myself.
and I have got this achievement. La tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim. And then he goes on to say, before he carries on with his advices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in, and Allah ta'ala says, wa wassayna al insana biwalidayhi. Luqman alayhi salam, he himself is not going to say, oh my dear son, parents are like this, parents are like this, because the son will say, you're only saying this because you want me to respect you. So Allah Ta'ala did not let Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam share this advice. He himself, he gave this advice. In between these advices, that oh people listening to the advices of Luqman alayhi salam, a father to a son, a father will not tell his son that you must respect me, you must respect me. That's something the son will learn from other sources. He will pick up from other sources. If that father has given that son good education, that son will learn these things from his madrasa. He will learn these things from his ustaz, from his imam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to elevate the maqam, to elevate the status of the parents, after talking about the oneness of Allah, Allah ta'ala says, we have strongly advised man to be good towards his parents. And why should he not be good towards his parents? حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا. Difficulty upon difficulty his mom went through when she gave birth to him and her. My dear respected friends, we grow old, we forget. We get older and we forget that when I came into this world, not when I came into this world, before I even came into this world, 9 months prior to me coming into this world, from that day, the sicknesses and the difficulties that my mother went through, each day of her pregnancy was difficult and more worse than the day before. And we forget this, my dear friends. Just before I came here, I was fortunate to speak to my ustaz, Hazrat Aqdas Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dura Sahib Hafizahullah. And in that conversation, something about parents came. And I said to Sheikh that, Sheikh, before I used to say, I used to say this in bayans, that from day one since we have come into this world, from the day we have come into this world, our parents have gone through so much difficulty. Then Sheikh, I said, when I had a child myself, I realized it's not from the time they come into this world. It's from the time they become expected. From that time, difficulty starts. And Shaykh ne kya farmaya ki haan beta, aisi hi baat hai. Lekin aaj kisko iska ehsaas hai? Aaj kisko iska ehsaas hai? Baro tak ko bhi aaj iska ehsaas nahi raha. I am not just talking to the youngsters. He said that, yes beta, this is the true reality. But how many people acknowledge this today? And then he said, leave aside the youngsters. That the youngsters forget what their parents have done. He says, aaj to baro ko bhi iska ihsas tak nahi. Even the elders in the community, they have become so old, but they have forgotten. What about the difficulties our parents went through for us? So hamalathu ummuhu wahnan ala wahn. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to say that wa in jahadaka ala an tushrika bi ma laysa laka bihi ilmun fala tuzihuma. Yes, the parents, they have their status. We are all aware of this status. But despite that great status, if ever they order you to do something which means displeasing Allah, which means going against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite their great status, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey them. Do not obey them, because they want you to do something despite how great they may be. But they are telling you to do something which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will only bring failure in your life. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no such thing as obedience to the creation when it is at the cost of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected friends, if this is being said with regards to our parents, who are the most important in our lives, if this is being said with regards to our parents, then what is this new wave of fitna that we have around us today? That just to please others, this banner of compromise we are waving around today. Oh, compromise on our salah. Oh, compromise on our core beliefs. Oh, compromise on our values. Oh, dysfunction is happening, but we won't do this because they may take it wrongly. And they may take it wrongly. Oh, we have to compromise on this because they may take it wrongly. And what are you compromising on? Where have you even got the knowledge to understand what parts of deen am I allowed to compromise on and what parts of deen am I not allowed to compromise on? Today, my dear friends, major parts of our iman, parts of our Islam, core practices of Islam are being compromised. Why? Just to please other people. Just to please other people. After all your compromise, how much have you achieved today? After all that compromise, how much have we achieved today? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man iltamasa ridallahi bisakhatin nas radiallahu anhu wa arda nas anhu. On one side, if you're about to do it, your friends will become upset with you. You want to do something that is according to Islam, or you fear that your friends will become upset with you. Your parents will become upset with you. Or your society will become upset with you. But he does this because he understands that it doesn't matter if they become upset with me. At the end of the day, I have to please my Rabb. I have my first duty towards him. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promises that fine, initially they may become upset with you. Somebody who pleases Allah at the cost of the displeasure of the people, then slowly, slowly Allah will become happy with him anyway, but Allah will make the people happy with him as well. Before it was a bitter pill for them. And then they realized, no, this was the best for us. What he did was for our favor. He is a muhsin. He has favored us by doing this. And on the other hand, وَمَنِ الْتَمَسَ رِضَ النَّاسِ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَسْخَطَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ Allahu Akbar. And whoever displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he wanted to please the people around him. It is the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah will become upset with him anyway, but Allah will make the people even more upset with him in the long run. So my dear friends, and let us get our priorities right. If with regards our parents, we are told we cannot compromise our deen just to please them, just to listen to them, then who are all these other people in our lives that day and night we are compromising? We are shredding our deen, my dear brothers. We are spoiling our deen just to please others. Yes, we're good God-fearing ulama explained to us that because halat and conditions are like this, and don't worry, this is something you don't have to do, then we can adopt it. But God-fearing ulama, those who have fikr for their own deen, and they have fikr for the deen of the people around them as well. And now look at the next balance, that yes, fine, you may not listen to them because they are telling you to disobey Allah, but at the same time, don't make them your enemies. At the same time, don't disrespect them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا Mufti Shafi Uthmani Sahib says, look at this great balance in our religion, my dear friends. On one side, we are told, no way, you cannot listen to them. But at the same time, we are told that cordially be good towards them. Treat them with respect. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for you to practice this deen in its totality, what will you have to do? وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ You will have to follow the path of those people who have turned to me. Note over here, Allah didn't say, وَاتَّبِعِ الدِّينِ وَاتَّبِعِ الْإِسْلَامِ Follow Islam. He didn't say that. He says, وَاتَّبِعْ Follow the path. Path of who? The path of those people who have turned to me. Meaning those people who have already turned to me in worship, in forgiveness, and they are already following the path, follow their path. The point I am making, Allah didn't say just follow deen. Allah is explaining to us that how will you follow deen? By following in the footsteps of those people who have already reached success. My dear respected friends, the Quran is telling us over here that we must find out the ways, the methodologies of our Salafus Salihin. Those who have left this world and Allah Ta'ala was pleased with them, we need to find out what their path was and endeavor to follow in their footsteps, my dear friends. Endeavor to follow in their footsteps. We live in testing times. All the Ahl al-Batil around us, all the wrong people around us, they are saying, oh, but we are also using this hadith. And what we are saying, we can substantiate it from the Quran and the hadith. As people, we are confused. Who do we go to? Who shall we follow? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say that whoever wants to follow in the footsteps of someone, then let him follow in the footsteps of those people who have already left this world as with success. Go to the Salafus Salihin. Study their lives. See what was their methodology. Because don't follow somebody who's alive right now. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتَنِ Because someone who's alive today, he may look successful. Tomorrow he may end up on the wrong path. So the Quran is saying as well, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of the Salafus Salihin. And if you don't do it today, you will definitely regret it tomorrow. Because ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Because tomorrow you will have to return to me. And when you return to me, now I will open your book of deeds and I will inform you of all the actions you used to do. Allah is telling us, before that time comes and it is too late, my dear respected friends, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, talks about His greatness. And so that we can fear Allah at all times. And we can build our iman, make our iman more stronger in Allah. What is the knowledge of Allah? يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Oh my dear son, never ever think that you can disobey Allah and you will get away with it. Don't ever think there's a corner on this earth that you can go to and Allah Ta'ala will not see you. Because look at the knowledge and look at the power, look at the might of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That if there is something as small as a mustard seed, and in the biggest and the largest and the darkest of boulders around this earth somewhere, this one mustard seed is hiding inside there. And where are we going to find this boulder now? Imagine we were told there is a mustard seed somewhere in Toronto. Where will we go? How many boulders? When we find the boulder, where should we start on this boulder? What side of this boulder is this mustard seed in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're talking about the earth, of the samawat. Even if this mustard seed was in the sky somewhere, someone has scattered it somewhere. Hundreds of them, millions of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it without any sort of difficulty. Allah ta'ala can present it to us. And Allah will tell us, this was this one from there, this was this one from there. This is the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we cheat one another, my dear friends? How can we deceive one another? How can we disrespect one another, mock one another, attempt to put each other down? When this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will definitely take us to account to it tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَ. He goes on to say, oh my dear son, worry about your deen. And the big thing inside your deen is salah. So establish salah. Establish salah, but don't just worry about your own deen. No, don't just worry about your own deen. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Worry about others as well. So enjoin good and forbid evil. أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ is one of the great responsibilities of this ummah. But my dear friends, unfortunately, we are so neglectful in this regard that when there is an opportunity to invite someone towards good, we feel too shy in doing so. Or we have no time in doing so. Or we feel it's not going to be of any benefit if I do it. وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. When you see somebody doing something wrong, today we are frightened to tell our own siblings when they are in wrong. When they are in error, when they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ نَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. My dear friends, Allah ta'ala has promised so much punishment for that nation who leaves this responsibility of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahya anil Munkar. How can we be comfortable just following our own deen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives an example and he says, there are two groups of people. And when they get onto the ship, they have this conversation and they decide that group A will reside on the top part of the ship and group B will decide on the bottom part of the ship. Now when group A need any water, what will they do? They will release that bucket into the ocean, they will take the water. But what about the lower level? When they want water, so the lower level say, oh, there's no point disturbing our friends upstairs. So there's no point going to their floor and going to get water. So they go to group A and they say to them that, is it okay that we won't disturb you, but we'll just make a small hole at the bottom of the ship and whenever whatever water will come from there, we will take it. What will happen to them, my dear friends? Not only will group B sink, but the whole boat of them will sink. So this is the example Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave of those people who are practicing deen, comfortable with their deen, but they are not using the power and the capacity and the salahiyat Allah ta'ala has given to them to invite others towards deen. Nobody is saying that become a full-time imam. Nobody is saying become a full-time da'i. But whatever is in your capacity, then enjoin good and forbid evil, but it must be done in the right manner. It must be done in the right manner. Otherwise, my dear friends, group A, group B, all of us will have to face failure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ayyuhan nas, inna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala yaqulu lakum muru bil ma'ruf wanhaw 'anil munkar qabla an tad'uni fala ujiba lakum wa tas'aluni fala u'tiyakum wa tastansuruni fala ansurakum." What has happened to the ummah today? We call to Allah, Allah Ta'ala is not answering our call. We ask Allah, oh Allah, we need your help. Allah is not giving to us. And we ask Allah for help. Oh Allah, millions and millions of lives of the Muslims around the world are being taken. But the help of Allah Ta'ala is not coming. One of the reasons is we have left this responsibility of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. Somebody will say, but when I try to do Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, my friends, they are not good towards me anymore. People become hostile, becomes a hostile environment towards the house. So he tells his son, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Wasbir ala ma asaba. Therefore, be very patient with whatever faces you. And remember patience. Inna dhalika min azmi al-umur. This is definitely from the resolute of manners. This is definitely from the acts of determination. That a person can be patient on whatever calamities comes towards his way. Then he goes on to say, oh my dear son, Allahu Akbar. Such social conduct the Quran addresses. وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. He goes on to say that, oh my dear son, never turn your cheek away from the people. Never turn your cheek away from the people. In these verses of the Quran, Luqman alayhi salam is teaching the people humbleness, humility. Always think low of yourself and give respect to other people. Don't let haughtiness, don't let pride come into you. Oh, I am something. Oh, this poor person is coming to meet me. Let me turn my cheek away from him. I shake his hand, but I don't really want to look at him. Oh, he's talking to me. He's saying something which is true, but I don't like what he's saying, so I'm not even going to give him the ear. I'm not even going to give him the respect. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said, this is not the right way to talk to people. That when they want to talk to you, they are addressing you, they are shaking your hand, then you are turning away from yourself. وَلَا تُصَعِدْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was such, my dear friends, even in one occasion it comes in the Shama'il, that one companion came to talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was talking to him from behind. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not continue to converse like this. He stood up and he fully faced that person, and he gave that person his due respect. I have seen my respected ustaz, Mawlana Muhammad Saleem Dorat Sahib Hafizahullah. You go, it's your own experience as well. When you will shake his hand, there could be 100 people in the queue behind you. And there could be 100 people trying to talk to him around you. But when he will shake your hand, he will give you that full eye-to-eye contact. Because he believes you are the creation of Allah. You deserve that respect from me. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would shake someone's hand, he would give so much courtesy to that person, that he would not let go of that person's hand until that person would pull his hand away himself. Meaning it's not that I'm so busy, I don't have time for anyone. No, I have time. I have all the time that you want. I am ready to give you that respect, courtesy. Show this kind of love. Where the Sahaba say, the love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed to his companions, displayed to his companions, was that each and every companion thought that, subhanallah, he is treating me so well. He is treating, look, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. You just think, how is this possible? Something so great. But the Ahlullah, they do this. That whoever is around them, all of them think, even the visitor who has come for the first time, Sahaba say, each and every single one of us would feel, after the treatment we got from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we must be the most closest to him. He must love us the most. That's why he is treating us like this. But this was from the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, al-mu'minu ma'laf, wala khayra fi man la ya'laf, wala yu'laf. Ask yourselves, this is the thermometer of your iman. How good is your iman? Al-mu'minu ma'laf. A mu'min is a center of love. When people go to him, they find love. When he talks to people, he expresses love, displays love. In his actions, there is love. In his words, there is love. In his comfort, there is love. In everything that he does, there is love, compassion, care, empathy, sympathy. This person puts himself in your shoes. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. If you're somebody who does not have this lovely nature, a nature where people find love when they come to you, la khayr, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no goodness inside this person. But we come from those, my dear friends, akhlaq will take you a very long way. It's not just about our salah and our fasting and our spending time in the masjid and spending time in the path of Allah and spending in the path and spending for the sake of Allah. No, my dear friends, akhlaq will take you a very, very long way. Akhlaq will take you a very, very long way. Anyway, moving on, he says three more things, inshallah. Number one, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now moving on, he says, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. The one who subjugates himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who subjugates himself in front of Allah, and he is sincere, he does good actions, then most definitely he has held on to that strong rope, that strong knot, that strong ring. The strong ring. Before, when people would park their horses, park their camels, then on the buildings there would be this ring that they would have. You would have them on the castles, on the forts, and they would tie their conveyances over there, because that was the most strongest part they could find. So whoever subjugates himself to Allah, he has held on firm to such iman that iman will never let go of him, inshallah. My ustaz, Mufti Sulaiman Sahib Hafizahullah, many of you have benefited from him. He has come here last Ramadan as well. When we were studying Jalalain by him, he said to us that, and the Arab, the people who are aware of the Arabic language, they understand that Wajh is used because the face, whoever subjugates his face. But what it really means is, whoever subjugates himself, meaning, maine Allah ke samne apne aap ko fana kar liya. I have annihilated myself in front of Allah. Whatever Allah says, I will do. Whatever He says goes. So Mufti Sahib said that Allah Ta'ala could have said, وَمَن يُسْلِمْ ذَاتَهُ لِلَّهِ وَمَن يُسْلِمْ جِسْمَهُ لِلَّهِ, whoever subjugates his body to Allah, whoever subjugates his being to Allah. But why has Allah Ta'ala used the word wajh? I have just explained the output. I have just explained one reason. But he said another reason is, what do we see with the wajh? What comes with the face? With the face comes the mind, the brain. With the face comes our opinion. Whoever subjugates his opinion in front of Allah. What is the problem today, my dear friends? A critical analysis on everything. Let's object on everything. Oh, Allah has said this, but why did Allah say this? Oh, Allah has said this, but didn't Allah know this could also happen as well? My dear friends, we question everything. We have a problem with everything. We find it hard to accept the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the need of the time. Apni rai ko fana kar lo. My dear friends, there is no opinion of ours in front of the Quran and the Hadith, my dear respected friends. This is not some novel that you and I can do a critical analysis on the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bas, Allah says something, I will adopt it straight away. Allah says something, I will action it straight away, my dear friends. Whoever does this, he has held on to that iman that will never, never let go of him. Moving on, Allahu Akbar, how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great is the beauty of Allah. How great is the knowledge of Allah. How great is the perfection of Allah. How great are the attributes of Allah. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all the trees on this earth, how many trees are on this earth? Allahu A'lam. Let's just take one tree. One tree. And he said, if all of these trees were to become pens, leave aside the trees on this earth. Let's take one tree. How many pens, how many wood sticks, you know the olden day pens? How many pens can we make from one tree? Imagine one tree, and imagine from there we have so many pens. Leave aside so many pens, just take one pen. Take one pen, and take one bottle of ink. For how long will you have to write for that ink to finish, my dear friends? Take one ocean of ink. Imagine the whole ocean was ink. And for how long would you have to write with one pen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not one pen. As many pens you can make from one tree, not one tree. As many trees you can find on this earth, if all of these trees were to become pens, and all of the oceans were to become ink, not just all of the oceans that we see today. يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ. Bring another seven oceans as well. Bring another seven oceans. Bring 7 million oceans if you want. مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. The pens will dry up. The oceans will run out of ink. But the beauty, perfection, attributes, sifat, qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never come to an end, my dear friends. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate are we to have a Rabb like this. Now finishing off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. O people,
when will we come to our realization?
Allah Ta'ala says, this whole surah in a nutshell is, اتقوا ربكم. Just adopt the taqwa of your Lord. Adopt the taqwa of your Lord. Put a barrier between yourself and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ittaqu rabbakum. Adopt the taqwa of Allah. Leave sin. Live a sin-free life. Purify your life. Cleanse your life from sin. For how long will we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For how long will we enjoy these desires? When it means that Allah ta'ala becomes angry with us, my dear friends. Ittaqu rabbakum. And one way of adopting the taqwa of Allah is remind yourself of that day which is to come. Remind yourself of that day of judgment. So it says, waqshaw yawman. And fear that day. Fear that day. How will that day be? Today the son, he does the worst of crimes. The whole community leaves him. But the mom and the dad cannot leave him. The mom and the dad will say, "Ya, despite what he's done, at the end of the day, he is my son. At the end of the day, how can we run away from him? How can we take him out of our house? How can we tell him that go on your own way?" But that same dad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that day will be, لا يجزي والدٌ والده شيئًا. That no dad will be able to benefit his son in any way. وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَوْ وَالِدِهِ. And nor will any child be able to be of any avail to their parents. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. The dad, my dear friends, remind ourselves of the affection and the compassion of our mothers. Allah Ta'ala is saying, tomorrow, even the child will run away from his mother. Okay, yar, she's in her own problems, I'm in my own problems, nafsi, nafsi. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, before that time comes, and when it will only be your deeds and your book of deeds and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the only thing that will count tomorrow on the day of judgment. So Allah ta'ala is saying, adopt the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala is saying, don't take these discourses on the Quran and the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't take them in one ear and take them out of the other ear. Remember, inna wa'dallahi haqq. Verily, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. The promise of Allah will be fulfilled, my dear friends. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. Allahu Akbar. My dear friends, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are serious. They are not no joke, my dear friends. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. When the words of Allah ta'ala are truthful, then where is the problem? The problem is we have been deceived by this worldly life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ. Never ever let this dunya deceive you. Never ever let this dunya deceive you. وَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. And never ever let shaitan deceive you. Never ever let shaitan deceive you. My dear respected friends, this world, how much will we keep on enjoying ourselves in this world? For how long is it dunya, dunya, the tasbih of the dunya, dunya, dunya? And I've said before, dunya means three things. Number one, love for wealth, excessive love for wealth that makes us neglectful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for fame. And number three, love for the fulfillment of desire. All the desires you will fulfill, but even at the end of it you will say, but I haven't done this and I haven't done this. All the wealth you will amass, but at the end of it you will say, but still there is this project left, and still there is this left, and that's investment left. Ya sakin al qasr al mu'alla satudfanu an qareebin fit turabi. The poet says that, well, how much will you acquire? You will acquire and you will get the biggest palace on this earth. But at the end of the day, satudfanu an qareebin fit turabi. Very soon you're going to be buried under that ground. That palace will not fit inside your qabr. لَهُ مَلَكٌ يُنَادِي كُلَّ يَوْمٍ لِدُولِ الْمَوْتِ وَابْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ. Allah, the poet is saying, every day the angel is whispering to you, but you are ignoring the angel. The angel is saying that for how long will you continue with all of this? Fine, you will fulfill this desire, that desire. But how long will the pleasure of these desires last? So you are giving birth to others because you are giving birth to your own children. You are giving birth for death. You give birth to them, you'll have a very long ride. At the end of it, they will die. They will leave this world as well. And number two, وَبْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ. All these projects you are doing, investments you are doing, all this money that you are acquiring, how much more do you need? The more you will do this, at the end of the day, all of this is going to come to an end. يَا صَاحِبِي. O my companion, لَا تَغْتَرِرْ بِتَنَعُمٍ فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدْ وَالنَّعِيمُ يَزُولُ. O my dear friend, don't be deceived by this luxury. Because the time will come, فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدْ. Your life will come to an end. وَالنَّعِيمُ يَزُولُ. And all these luxuries that you are trying and exerting yourself so much for, they are going to come to an end as well. Instead, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع أسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم من صحيح رأيت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says that instead of all of this, why don't you take advantage of the opportunities that you have by pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't keep on saying tomorrow, 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 because before you know it, death will come knocking on your door. Death does not need an excuse to make you ill, to put you in an accident, to put you in a mental disorder. Death doesn't need any of this. كَمْ مِنْ صَحِيحٍ رَأَيْتُ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُكْمٍ. Imam Bukhari says, me in my own life, how many healthy people have I seen? They had no illnesses, nothing was wrong. And ذَهَبَتْ نَفْسُهُ السَّحِيحَةُ فَلْتَةً. All of a sudden, his healthy life came to an end. And وَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغُرُورِ. Do not let shaitan deceive you. My dear friends, shaitan is there because he is our open enemy. How foolish is it of us, my dear friends, that Allah, our creator, our cherisher, that Allah who has done everything for us, He is telling us that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is your open enemy, yet my dear friends, we obey shaitan so much. Whatever he says, we fulfill those desires. Allah Ta'ala gives one sketch of tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, and I will finish here. The Quran is saying that tomorrow, when all the decision will be made, he's going Jahannam, he's going Jahannam, he's going Jahannam. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. You people were so foolish. Shaitan will tell us, those who obey him so much today, Shaitan will say, you people are so foolish. Didn't you understand? Allah made promises to you. If you do this, you will go Jannah. If you do this, you will go Jahannam. Allah made promises to you. You never took him seriously. I made promises to you and you took me seriously. But don't you know? وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُمْ. That I also made promises to you, but then I went against these promises. And today don't come to me and try and blame me. That, oh, shaitan, is because we listen to you and we listen to you. Shaitan will say, مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. I never had no authority over you. I never had no power over you. All I did was I invited you towards the sin and you accepted that invitation. So now you can deal with your own problems and you can pay for those sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten us with these discourses on the glorious Quran, my dear friends. Whatever good that was shared with us today, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring these great lessons into our lives. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi.